What's up, everybody? This is Crux Crawford. You are listening to the Crux Yeah podcast. If you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or whatever medium you're listening to this podcast on right now, do me a quick favor. Go ahead and hit 5 stars. Go ahead and leave a 5-star review. Go ahead and leave a comment. Whatever the medium you're listening on allows you to do right now, go ahead and do that so you can help me spread the word of Crux Yeah to fans just like you and get it out to more people. Now that we got that out of the way, this week's episode starts right now.
Crux Yeah!
Let me hear you say Crux Yeah!
Crux Yeah.
Crux Yeah.
Crux Yeah.
Crux Yeah podcast.
Crux Crawford.
I'm going to loop that.
Yeah, loop
it. Get rid of all the whites. Get rid of all the whites.
You'll see how great this country does when y'all are all gone. You laugh because you're like, you know, it's not true.
Like, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, you're going to run this place without a manager?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Crux Yeah podcast, where we all know the whites make the world go round.
The whites make it right. Coming to you strong.
All white radio.
Where it's nice and calm. There's no need for shouting.
Welcome to the calm, peaceful street.
We keep all the diverse people as a janitorial staff.
The Crux Yeah podcast. Where there is no obscene noises after 10 p.m.
We keep it nice and family friendly.
Oh, yeah.
Before 10 p.m. Afterwards, we get nice and dirty. Say the word penis a lot.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, give me a hell yeah, Crux.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Get a hell yeah. Let's pour out a fucking cold one for Twilight, baby.
I like how you called it out.
Well, not.
I was just like, can I get hell yeah?
No, dude. Well, Clausel did run a mic there, but Twilight did shut. That was a dope bar.
Oh, it's gone?
The whole bar is fucking done, dude. It's
when did this happen?
Tuesday was their last day. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. It's a wild. It was a dope bar. And then I did go to the Clausel mic. That's like one of the first mics I started going to.
Dude, that's fucked.
It's crazy. It is very unfortunate because the Fort Worth mic scene is dying.
So that bar is
done for, closed. Dude. Closed. It sucks. It really does. I mean, it was a dope bar.
Yeah, cool. Are we starting or what should we do? Should we start yet or no?
I thought we started too,
but then we started talking about Fort Worth mics.
Is that bad?
No, it's not bad.
Cut it.
No, I don't care.
Fuck Fort Worth.
I don't care, dude.
Don't go to San Antonio where
just
all the fat people are.
One or two things that the listeners can identify with, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
we should talk about, because people can't identify with Fort Worth here because everybody doesn't drive a steer everywhere they're going. Yeah. We have things a little bit backwards here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's start over. Start the podcast over. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the Crux Yeah podcast, where it's all white all the time.
It's the same intro as before.
There's nothing after 10 p.m. No loud noises. Nothing too spicy. Sold at the grocery store.
Let's keep the spice level to non-existent, just like the minorities. Yeah. Well, that's a weird thing for me to say out loud, though. You know.
Yeah.
Because this is a painted on tan. Most people don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I am a white man, but just so Crux can say morally vague things about unethical things about minorities, he has me paint with a tanner on. It's a bronze. This is just bronzer. People.
His
don't
name
know
is actually Tanner.
Yeah, Tanner. It's not Mark Plata. It's Tanner.
It's
white.
Tanner Anderson.
Anderson somehow is whiter than being named white.
And then his sister, Anna Tannerson.
Anna Tannerson. Oh, dude, I stumbled upon a reel with all these fucking...
That sounds like the latest anchor on fucking OAN or Fox News. I'm Tanner Anderson.
And to my left is Anna Tannerson.
And this is the wake the fuck up hour, or lock your doors hour.
You don't know what's going on in this world. We're here to tell you.
Wake up, America.
Bill Gates wants you to eat insects. You think that's okay? Not on my watch.
That was going on. So, did you watch Insurrectionist Next Door?
No, I did not. I'm like, okay. You sent me with homework, and I did. High school.
For those of you don't know, there's a fucking podcast.
There's a podcast.
There's a fucking documentary, and it's made by what's her name, Pelosi's daughter.
Is it okay? That is her daughter.
Yeah, it's Pelosi.
You told me to watch it, and you were just like, just so you know, it's a little bias.
It's Pelosi's daughter, so it is a little bias. Yeah. Like, obviously, she's going to have an agenda on her own. And all her documentaries are always funny to me because she's always like, let's see what these dumb rednecks have to say down here in the slums. It's so funny.
Yeah, well, I mean, they are voters, and they need to have their opinions, like, broadcast it to.
She tries to come up because her whole like vibe is like, well, let's try to listen to the other side, and we're only going to understand each other better if we get along and we understand each other and hear all sides of the table or all sides of the equation.
Sounds fair and reasonable.
It does, but the way she does it though is like, most of my friends think these dumb inbred rednecks are idiots, right? And she's like, and they're kind of right, but I'll listen to them. I'll walk into their slums. You know what I mean?
Whoa. Don't you call their double wide slums, okay, buddy?
No, that's what she's saying. Oh. That's her perception, I'm saying.
Is this like the subtitle version, or is she saying out loud, like, hey, they live in shitholes, let's go visit
them? So she doesn't say it. Yeah. But it's like kind of the whole vibe is like, all right, let's fucking bring a camera into these dumb fucking trailers. That's basically like these dumb fucking rednecks over here. So like she did a documentary that I watched a couple years ago where it was like her whole thing was like, let's see how the other side, what their opinion is. Like, why do these idiots like Trump so much? And like she went to like, you know, obviously it was like mostly
fuck your sister. Rural, why do you like Trump so much?
It was mostly like rural Southern people. And then they'll throw in like the wild card, just like she did with this documentary about the
black person in there.
She throws in like the gay guy that's also a Trump supporter.
The gay guy climbing the wall.
It's crazy. You know what I mean?
At the Capitol, could you imagine that gay man?
That did happen.
I believe you.
There was one of the January Sixers. That's this gay Navy vet. He was in the military, and he was gay.
This is before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I suppose, or after. It doesn't matter.
It was definitely after.
We're not here to be factual.
He wouldn't have been old enough to live through the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I don't think.
No, okay.
But like, but anyway, so
he's old enough to slay, though. The Capitol.
Yeah.
That was
he listens cool. to K-Cock.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Sorry, I'm just interrupting.
No, that's cool.
No, fuck
you. I'm just interrupting, man.
I'm just here to listen to you, the white man, talk and just nod my head and say
look
thing,
here, Tanner.
Shit. Damn. And that is whack.
So she did this documentary a couple years ago where it was like, she was talking about like, well, why do people support Trump? And then like, there was this chick that like lived right next to an oil refinery, like in Texas, like somewhere nice. Like next to where they all are or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, she was like, you can't tell me that all this shit going into the air is making the earth warmer. You know what I mean? And it was just kind of funny. It was just, whether or not that's true, isn't the point. The point is that she was like, basically, the whole vibe of what she was doing was like, let me film this dumb bitch. So, like, she was kind of doing the same thing with this. And her whole message at the end that she tries to button everything up with at the end of, like, all of her documentaries that I've seen, which is two.
Yeah. Two too many, it sounds like.
Right. Is that, like, oh, at the end of the day, we're all people, and let's not let the media get the best of us, and let's all get along, which isn't a bad message, but
you know it's phony.
Yeah, because like the whole, if you watch it, okay, look, if you watch it, because I'm not, I don't have an allegiance to either side. So like, I can just watch it.
He's
and just like,
trumpet.
As a person, I'm just watching it. And there's like this subtle vibe of like, these people are pretty dumb and I'm better than them. But
yeah, I mean, for a while now, that's been like the Democrats, like calling cards. Like, hey, look how dumb these people are. They're so, they're not progressive. They don't know. They don't want to move forward. They want to keep their feet in the sand. They don't want progress.
That's the general stereotype.
It's been the vibe for a while.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, dude, this is the thing though. Since you didn't watch it, I'll definitely show
please,
you.
Please, like, we can pull some clips.
We can put the clips. I'll bust the clips out, dog.
Yeah.
I'll bust the clips
out. In the wrong
out.
Neighborhood, that means something different. Yeah.
Welcome to the white neighborhood. We're busting the clips out means we're pulling up things on the internet.
No one's getting shot up today. We're going to keep it nice and safe for y'all. You're in white suburbia.
Dude, when Mikey B was here the other day, he was trying to talk about how rough he had it because he's like, dude, I've stayed at La Quinta. and he wasn't even trying to be funny about it. He was literally like, man, I stayed at a fucking La Quinta hotel. I was like, is that really like the epitome of suffering right there? Like, bro, I stayed at La Quinta's, dog. God.
I'm used to Hilton Garden Inns, okay? These La Quinta's.
Not a Courtyard, okay? Not even a Holiday Express.
Yeah, that man has standards, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to show you because, dude, some of the fucking people she fucking... So, obviously, yeah, she has a little bit of elitist bias because, I mean, look who she's the daughter of and there's like a little bit of a... Like a little bit of a fucking better than you vibe, like subtly. Like you watch it and tell me if you agree or disagree because it's all unspoken. Uh-huh. But that does not change or negate from the fact
that they're dumb as shit.
She's interviewing some fucking trashy motherfuckers, dude.
That makes for good television.
Oh, yeah,
bro. I don't watch a documentary to be to learn something.
This is my favorite, though. If I had to choose out of all the fucking people that she fucking interviews, I'm going to show you this guy. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Okay.
I used to be a Democrat. I voted for Barack fucking Obama. Okay? Like, you can go back to 2008 when that man got into office and my name is on a ballot for Barack Obama. But they want to call me a white supremacist and they want to call me a racist and this and that. Yet I voted for the first black president.
How did you get labeled a white supremacist?
Because of my prison gang affiliation.
Dude, that's so fucking funny. Because of my white supremacist prison gang affiliation. That's
my
it,
short
dude.
Stint as a KKK dude, member.
And then here, pause it real quick. And then I'll show you the next thing. Because it's like it's
fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Why would they think you're...
Because it's like he kind of had a little thing going for a second. He had a little bit of a point. It's like, bro, you know, I voted for Barack Obama, okay? I stormed the Capitol because I felt like my voice was getting unheard. And people, because of that, they wanted to label me as a white supremacist. And she goes, well, why did they do that? He's like, because of my prison gang affiliation.
It's not fair.
Because I fucking tattooed a swastika onto my chest.
Like, this is modern day Edward Norton. Maybe he learned his
I got a bet. I got a bet.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, remember that's what he says in the movie.
I don't
basketball.
Remember. Oh,
he jumps up off the bench all fucking jacked. Yeah. He's like, I got a bet.
Yeah.
He takes his fucking white feeder off. You know?
Yeah, like, I remember.
We fucking lose, we will walk away. But if you lose, you got to get the fuck off this court and give it to us. And then Fat Ethan.
Yeah, Supley.
Supley is fucking pre.
Can we not just call him Fat Ethan Supley?
Yeah. Fat Ethan Supley, pre jacked Ethan Supley. He's just like, fucking. Almost had a heart attack on that fucking scene. All right, so
when you were in jail, you joined a white supremacy gang?
I joined the Aryan Brotherhood while I was in there. And it was either sink or swim.
So January 6th was not your first run-in with the law.
I got arrested in 2012, April 23rd, 2012, for attempted first-degree murder. I put a loaded gun in my mouth and almost blew my brains out because I got so depressed right before I went to prison in 2012. 3 days before I got in trouble for shooting that man, I put that 9mm in my mouth, put the clip in, racked around, put it in my mouth, closed my eyes, and I squeezed the trigger. And guess what? That bullet didn't go off. And do you know what happened after that? I dropped that gun on the ground, and I put my hands in my face, and I cried. I cried like a little baby, okay? And then I picked up my gun, took the clip out, racked the bullet out, looked at the primer, and there was a dimple on the primer in the bullet. So the bullet was a dud. I put that bullet in a fucking ashtray and was going to have a necklace made out of it with my name on it. And 3 days later, I shot somebody.
Nice.
Dude, I love how he's like, I was going to kill myself, but then you all just have to remember that's before he just committed murder. What? It's like, so then... I fucking shot somebody.
Yeah, okay.
Because it sounds like he's going to have this big revelation. And so he's like, I had the bullet in my fucking mouth, the gun in my mouth. I was going to kill myself. By the grace of God, something happened. I didn't die. So I went and killed a motherfucker. Yeah.
Hey, someone had to die is what he said.
That so it's bullet- like, dude, okay, this guy's a knucklehead. And now, oh my God, this dude is like dangerous.
Yeah.
This is a fucking.
He's a former racist, Obama supporter, and a murderer, which does sound like an Obama supporter, actually. All three of those things sound like the right Obama voter.
Bro,
right
when I watched that, I fucking had to rewind that two or three times. I was just in my living room laughing about that.
It sounds very positive. Like,
they labeled me a fucking white supremacist. Why? Because of my prison gang affiliation.
Realistically, he does not look white. So that had to be like a real tough decision.
Fuck you, Mark. Fuck you, Tanner.
So Sean would definitely be a white supremacist, what you're saying.
Fuck you,
dude,
guys.
Don't say that, dude.
You're the fucking podcast without me. I tried to have him on 101, and he said, when are you doing it? And well, fuck, I don't know if I responded. Anyway.
Yeah, like, never, dude.
I asked if he wanted to be never. On.
Well, realistically, I've seen the, there's a Mustang parked outside, and it's an older generation Mustang. And I thought that he got the other one repoed, and then he just like, he got it. He's like, I still got my fucking Mustang, though. It's not the other one, dude. I couldn't afford it. I got this cheap, I got a 2007 one. You know, I thought that was what was going on.
Fuck you, Mark.
I mean, the beginning of that whole speech to like could be at the beginning of an Instagram reel where it's like it'd be like, and this is why I'm glad I didn't commit suicide, because afterwards, 3 days later, I started a business. I turned my life around.
Yeah.
He was like, 3 days later, I fucking killed somebody.
Like, I was going to make a necklace, and 3 days later, I shot somebody. It's like he said it like I was rear-ended in a park. It's like, dude, you went and you're making it sound like you fucking got a parking ticket. Yeah, you make it sound like your grandma. I shot somebody.
Yeah.
Couldn't help it.
Whoopsies.
Yeah. Fucking ended up putting, you know, a gun ended up fucking getting shot by me and ended up hitting somebody and they died.
Guy wasn't as lucky with the dud. You know? I thought the gun was bad. Nah, dude. The whole thing worked. It was just me. I was survivor.
Survivor. Well, it's like the next thing is like, well, who did you kill? Why? That's a whole other issue. I mean, everybody made a big deal because it was a black guy. It's like, well, why did you shoot him? Because he was black.
He was trying to cut in line when I was trying to vote for Obama. I'm really passionate.
This is like, dude, because of my prison gang, there are other gems in there too, but that's the best one.
Yeah, that one, yeah. Well, I don't know what he is. Is he white? Is he supposed to be white?
He looks pretty white. Yeah, the car, that shot in that car is kind of truck or whatever, kind of dark. There's a bunch of other shots of him in the bar and shit like that. Okay. Yeah, he looks like a fucking...
Just a regular white guy with a lot of tattoos. He looks like a very dirty white guy.
He is. Yeah. He's a Florida white.
Oh, he's a Florida white. Oh,
most of these guys Florida are. Whites. Yeah, oh, yeah. Most of these January 6th.
They carry... Oh, I mean, I guess it's not that far of a drive from Florida to the D.C. It's probably like 7 hours maybe.
Then there's a dude who's either like super Italian or something or something. But he looks non-white. So he's either like Italian, just kind of makes himself to look not non-white, or he's like technically white or whatever, or he's not white, but he's got like Proud Boys like tattooed across, and he's a rapper and he has a song that does decently well on Spotify.
Shut the fuck up, Joe Biden
song. It's like, when I say fuck, you say Joe Biden. Fuck Joe Biden.
But there was there's a lot of things that you just told me about one character who I still don't believe is real because. What the fuck? He has Proud Boys tattooed on his forehead. That's a lot of dedication for a real gay gang. It's the gayest shit I've ever fucking heard in my life.
Should watch it. He has four kids. He had to go and serve 6 months in prison because of the January 6th shit, participating in January 6th.
Wait, hold on. He has four kids, but he was a present father for those four kids. Like he was
I think he had the kids and then he went to Washington, D.C. and committed he was part of the whole January 6th thing. And
yeah. I get that part. What I'm trying to find out was he was a good dad and he was just fed up by his government. And he went to go show
that's his narrative. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, he's not some bum father with four kids. He's a working father with a loving wife and four kids at home.
Yeah.
Who took it upon himself.
I can't tell where you're going. I'm trying to are you like making fun of it or are you fucking?
I am his lawyer now is what I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm batting defense here.
Right. I just didn't know what you were.
Okay. I didn't know where I was going until I made the statement. Okay. He's a father. Okay. Father of four.
Yeah.
All right. Loving wife at home.
He sounds like you're Matthew McConaughey in A Time to Kill. He's a father. He's a father of four.
Don't make me break. I'm a lawyer character. Now you just
pretend that man is white. Remember when he does that?
Yeah. Oh, I remember. That was quite the scene. It's quite the scene.
Father of four, rapper, of four. January 6th.
But, a rapper too? Never mind. He's probably a piece of shit.
Sad because in South Dakota.
Wait, he's from South Dakota?
He lived, yeah.
Man, that's... Okay, it's depressing enough. I don't know. I wouldn't know.
This whole story. You got to watch it. Watch the fucking documentary. Watch The Insurrectionist Next Door.
Yeah. This is a call to everybody listening to Crux. Yeah. Watch The Insurrection Next Door. Get some ideas. January 6th is not very far away. We'll make a part two. All right? Well, is that what you're doing? Is that we're doing that?
I think you better start calling it 4th of July, brother. Because it's the fucking new 4th of July.
The new 4th of July is coming soon.
If I can make a reel on January 6th, be like, happy new 4th of July, everybody. Never forget.
What is the what is the fancy way of saying new? I guess you could say
new gen.
Yeah, I guess no. New is still the fucking word.
Nuevo.
New and new.
New dude, fourth.
The new fourth, dude.
Yeah, it's the fourth. Yeah, it's the fourth.
There's a wall. We'll climb it. There's a wall.
We'll climb it. Climb it. Yeah, climb it. Climb it. You storm it, storm it. You storm it, storm it. Yeah, you storm it. Yeah, you storm it.
We're going to take Pelosi, yeah. I don't know.
Fucking Pelosi in her fucking capital, thinking she controls the earth. We'll fucking storm it and fucking destroy your office. Go! Straight down, down, down. Yeah, you storm it. We're bringing back. You can't escape the push it, dude. Can't escape the Static X. Can't escape the Static X, dude.
I just see like Wayne Static as like
if he was alive, he would have been
a news presenter instead of just doing fucking music.
Good evening, I'm Wayne Static, and this is the 6 p.m. news for your info.
Because people need so much more like a shit going on. Like he would keep people's attention. Like,
this is the news. Yeah. Or like, what is that? The other one, like, I'm with stupid or whatever. He's like, you won't believe the shit that happened the same thing, whether it's coming.
Always just relevant news facts.
Yeah. These are news stories. These are news stories.
That's the fucking dumb.
Oh boy.
Woo, shit. Go Wayne Static, dude. Hell yeah. Anyway, I'll have to give that show a watch. I will definitely, because I do support the boys. Not the Proud Boys, just the boys doing anything. You know, I don't care what kind of color they are. If you're a couple of boys out there, just.
Wasn't it funny how Proud Boys was started by a comedian, by Gavin?
Yeah. Dennis, yeah. Like, it's very odd.
He was a T-case.
Oh, was he recently?
Yeah. Like over a year ago.
Oh, okay.
Because I opened for the guy that is the opener for them normally.
Yeah, okay.
Like Gavin McGinnis and Anthony Cumia. There's a guy, fuck, what's his name? Josh Denny? I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Cool dude, I opened for him there. This is like over a year ago.
Is this when you started falling down the white rabbit hole?
Josh Denny, yeah, that's it. He got canceled from like a Food Network show.
Oh, and really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like a ginger with a beard.
Did he say
beard.
Something off, like off color for ethnic food? Or
I don't know what he said to get canceled, but he had a show on the Food Network, and then he got canceled because of his political affiliation or because some shit he said on a podcast or some shit.
He said something on like Twitter. Indian curry was too spicy.
It was like, yeah, during the whole Shane Gillis thing where they're just going after everybody.
Yeah. You know why I mean? Are you using so many goddamn spices? Isn't salt enough?
Yeah, something like that.
And they were like, nah, dude.
You're so then answer. I opened for him. He was headlining, and then Gavin McGinnis and Anthony Cumia were the next day. Uh-huh. But he was telling me that I had no idea, and he was saying, "Oh, dude, he like kind of started the Proud Boys, uh-huh. like, but just as a joke." And
yeah.
He's got nothing to do with what it became now, but like it spiraled and
yeah.
just became this whole serious thing that's like a shell of what it started as. Just kind of like a lot of things start that way, bro. Like the fucking Trenchcoat Mafia with like Eric Harris
yeah.
and Dylan Klebold.
Yeah,
like.
Oh, geez.
Patriots of the 90s. No, yeah. no but like the Columbine kids, like that start, their whole thing and their whole look and their whole fucking deal started from the Trenchcoat Mafia, which was like a fucking heist, like a registered, like kind of like high school group or whatever the fuck that was like on campus. It was like a student group.
Oh, okay.
And like they were not trying to kill people. They weren't like marginal. They were just kind of like a fucking, like they were kind of like the Hot Topic kids.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Really bad branding for them though, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So then they were like the weirdos that went off and got all weird and shit.
They got really deep
in
the trenches.
Real code. Hot Topic.
They went, hey, hold on. They went deep in the trenches.
Yeah, they went deep in the trenches. Yeah. They went sizzling topic.
Sweet.
They went fucking sun. Solar level temperature topic.
They went way past the hot.
They went Spencer's.
That's dangerous. You can't go Spencer's to hot, dude.
They went Gads. You remember Gadzooks?
Dude, yeah. Only vaguely. Wasn't it a green sign? I can't remember. I think it was a green sign. It was pretty much just like...
gag shirts.
Yeah, yeah. It was...
Like candy shirts.
But also, had like, didn't it have like a techno flair to it?
Probably. Everything had a little techno flair back then, you know?
Not me. Not this fucking guy. But I will have to go watch that. Why did we talk about that? Oh, Gavin McGinnis starting by it. That's a pretty good joke, though. If a joke can take on a life of itself.
What?
The Proud Boys.
Oh, yeah.
He should be very proud of that. No pun intended. But I mean, he was just.
What's the other one called? There's another group too that that was in this documentary that I hadn't even heard of before.
I don't know. I only know the Proud Boys
like
because
Deep Ops or some shit. There's like
Deep Ops.
That's not what it is. Oh. But there's another like group.
Yeah.
That like it's like a MAGA affiliated like spinoff thing.
Is it the Pepe meme guy? The frog meme? People?
I don't know. I don't know. They mentioned it by name. I only know it by name.
Man,
because it said, "Were you with Proud Boys or blah, blah, blah?" Like, I need to watch
this. This is like fucking like, what infantry were you in, huh?
Well, dude, it's getting crazy, bro. Like, not just with this shit, but just everything. Everything is like an offshoot of everything now, and like it all stemmed. I mean, that's kind of how history trickles down, dude. I mean, the things start as one thing, and then they evolve into another and another.
I mean, it's like you had Jesus teaching the teachings, and then like you have Pentecostals, Baptists, Christians, Catholics, all this other.
Well, didn't
bullshit.
The whole thing like didn't Christianity? I don't know a lot about it, bro, because I wasn't really brought up like super Christian.
You were high most of the time. I get it.
I was high most of the time, but also like I went to church like by my own choice to go to church when I was like a little kid because I was like I don't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
And I like went to the church choir voluntarily up until like middle school. And then once weed came in the picture, I was kind of like, oh, well, this is obviously
this
more
is
important
gay
than God. Yeah. So like. But I wasn't raised Christian. I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't study anything. You know what I mean? Like super hardcore.
You were just singing your hymns.
So my understanding is that Christianity like wasn't in for a long time, and then it just popped up randomly long after Jesus was gone and all that shit.
He was ahead of the curve, as did you say. He was a trendsetter. People don't realize that. He was like, yeah, I don't fucking know, dude. I have no clue.
You didn't know? Because I heard, I don't know about theology or anything, but from what I understand, from what I've heard from other people that may not know what they're talking about either.
From my drunk uncle.
He fucking died, and then there were like all kinds of messiahs back. Like it was like fucking, it was like SoundCloud rappers or like people, with comedians with podcasts. It's like, I'm a messiah. Check me out. Follow me, bro.
Come check out my shit, dude.
Check out my podcast,
dude. You ripped me off. That was my segment.
I'm on episode 100 now, dude. I got my messiah podcast called I Am God. Check it out at I Am God Pod. You know, like fucking people were just fucking shit, clout chasing back.
Clout
then.
Chased it, yeah.
I'm a messiah. My cousin's in the messiah. You know, I got open mic Wednesdays. Open messiah mic.
Yeah. Don't you know who my dad is, dude? He's the OG Messiah.
Yeah, dude. So, like, Jesus was featuring back then.
Yeah.
Featuring for God.
Come on, God. I got a solid 45. I can close it.
He's like, you're not ready, son. Not ready. Try your opener as your closer and your closer as your opener. And then cometh on back to me. And it was so. And Jesus tried his closer as his opener.
Well, he nailed it.
And he said he waseth not readyeth. So
I went the other way. It's like he nailed it, so he had to die.
And Jesus did 45 minutes within 15 and realized he was having a bad set and that he was not yet ready.
And so they put him on the
Jesus did not
on the cross.
Doth claimed, this crowd is too tight. It is not my fault.
Judas, don't turn your back on me. You were laughing at this in the car.
Judas, you ratted me out to the booker. Now I am no longer allowed to send my avails. Okay, this is...
Of course, the Jews are running the clothes back.
So, apparently, okay, I don't know if you've heard this, but okay, so there were a lot of messiahs and all this shit, and like there were all these religions popping up, and it was like a crazy, like, tumultuous time. But then, like, Jesus died, the whole fucking thing happened, the crucifixion and all that shit. And then no one was, like, Christian for, like, a long time. I think like, hundreds or maybe 100 years.
After they did what to the guy.
It was a long time, dude. It was, like, this guy died, and then, like, long period of time passed. I don't remember how much it was. And then all of a sudden, it started, like, making a comeback. It's like fucking Limp Bizkit. Like, they came back.
Hell yeah, dude.
It came back after a long time. Or, like, you know, Stranger Things talking about the 80s coming back or whatever. It was, like, a thing that died and was, like, gone and no one talked about it for years and years and years, and then it randomly started just like making this huge resurgence in Europe and shit.
I that sounds feasible. I mean, think about it, like,
and then he started blowing up.
The original guy died,
and it was a big draw.
The original guy died in a very brutal way, and then all his followers are like, I ain't talking about this shit to nobody. Like, I'm not telling. They'll write it down in probably some ancient texts. And then their grandkids find it and like, this is some bullshit. And a couple hundred years they go by and like, you know, this is actually kind of cool. You know, it's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a velour jumpsuit that your grandpa owned. Not cool. Cool for him at the time.
Yeah.
His kids didn't think so. But when you found it, you're like, this is a fucking dope.
Yeah, it's like, so I guess it like popped up and then all of a sudden it just got like really popular like way after the shit happened.
Yeah.
You know?
But what, see, it's crazy because like it was popping a little bit. He had some like some heat going and they killed him for it, right? And it goes away for a couple hundred years and he gets really big and his supporters start killing other people for it. So that's pretty cool. They learned the brutality works.
And then the Jews the whole time were like, bro, you're fucking into that dude? Yeah. That dude was weird, bro.
It was odd. He was an odd duck. He was washing people's feet. He got a foot fetish. That's not all right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But anyway, that's kind of interesting, though. That's kind of crazy, right? Like, the whole thing. Because, like, I guess you would assume, like me, someone who doesn't really know about it at all, you assume, oh, yeah, he died, but then, like, it was kept alive and it was popular, like, right away, but I guess it wasn't. Like, it was kind of dead. It was kind of gone for a while. Like Christians, just, it was only supposedly, I guess it's only the people that ended up writing all the book, what became the Bible books about him, right? Like, so John and Mark and shit. It's all these different motherfuckers being like, yeah, I knew him, motherfucker, too. This is how it happened.
There's a lot of books written, though. Well, I mean, it makes sense, I guess, that it would, I don't know, man. That's it's pretty cool.
I knew him back when he was an open micer.
Yeah. You know what it is like? The more current thing is vinyl records. They made a resurgence. It died out.
Yes, it's like that. Exactly. It went away. No one talked about it. And
people loved CDs, and then they didn't.
Yeah, I don't know how many more examples we could give of that. But
that's, hey, no, I'll keep on going down the well, and I'll dry it up, dude. Let me think of another example.
All right.
Hold on. The mullet. Sorry, we're done. Fuck it. We're not talking about any more theology on this podcast, unless it's about Judaism. Which I'm a big fan of.
I'm about the Buddhism, dog. Ooh, how about that? That's my religion. Damn. That's my fucking religion. You know what I'm saying? I'm down with the Buddhism. You know what I mean? I worship the Church of Buddha. That's all I got. You know what I mean?
See, this guy up here gets it.
Anyway, your next comic.
Yeah. Dude, speaking of.
Cut that off.
Dude, I went to go see Cat Williams.
Oh my God. I was going to ask you about that tonight. Oh, that was on my list.
God, it was the fucking greatest shit ever. And I love black comedy because, you know, doing comedy, it's two different worlds completely. You have black comic world and then you have a white comic world. And unfortunately, all the club shit is all white comic stuff. So you see a lot of white comics. But you had your time around black comics. And you know,
you had your time.
I mean, you've been to Black Open Mics. Yeah, it's crazy. They really have their own fucking like shit going. Like, the whole thing going on. But everything that like is just like a trope and a stereotype, it was on full fucking display at Cat Williams.
Were you in was it mostly black?
It was, surprisingly, because it was in Oklahoma, there was a lot of black people there.
Yeah, it's on the border, right?
Yeah, it is on the
border. I would argue most people probably came from Texas.
I would assume so. But and let me tell you, they dressed up really nice, but they're black, so of course they are.
So was it 90% black audience? Or
I would
80?
Say it was 80%, and then probably like 10% Hispanic, and then 5% like...
Not a lot of whites.
Not a lot. Which
surprises me, man, because he's so fucking great.
He is very funny, but like... I mean, the comics weren't like super like hateful. They weren't hateful to white people at all. They were very inclusive.
No, I know. That's the thing, though. I think it's so funny how you think, because I'll think to myself sometimes, think like, oh, man, like that's so funny how like I'm sure there's going to be a lot of white people here, blah, blah, blah. But then you go to the comics like that and you see and you're like, no. Or like Tommy Davidson, like at Arlington Improv, I was like, dude, I was like one of like three white people in there. Yeah. It's like, dude, what the fuck? These guys are great. What the fuck is wrong with people? I think the only black comic that white people really go to see is like Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle. That's pretty much it.
Well, they've crossed such a barrier.
And Kevin Hart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Kevin Hart, too. But they've crossed such a barrier. They would be like, hey, where are my Hispanics at? Where are my black people at? And they're like, where are my white people at? You could tell they were scared to whoop. And I felt so bad. I'm like, you know, like, because when they did it, they're like, I know there was more in it. I can kind of see y'all. Like, y'all can make some noise. I was like, they're scared. But they're not, you know, they're outnumbered.
They're not used to that. They're not used to that, bro.
Oh, boy. They were
not having that often.
They were tightened up a little bit. There was a white couple in front of me, and I think the girl wanted to go more than the guy. Like, something tells me the way she was laughing at all the black humor is that she used to, like, be with black men. She's like,
let me show you. I got really into this guy when I was in a different part of my life. Yeah, I was exploring certain things.
There was a history there, dude. I could tell the way she was laughing. Like, there was a history.
Okay, remember how I told you I had that crazy period in my 20s?
How many? Five in a row?
So anyway, that's how I learned about Kat.
He's my favorite. But dude, she was having a good time, and the boyfriend was just like, you know, just like,
oh, they were sitting next to you or whatever.
Yeah, they were right in front of me. So like, you know, in an arena, like at a comedy club, it's different because it's like, it's tight, it's compact. You can, you know,
yeah,
you
can. It's a big ass place.
Yeah, in an arena, it's just like you kind of like people watching, people getting there late. Surprisingly enough, the people showing up late weren't black. You know how fucking surprised I was?
Why would you be surprised at that, Tanner?
Boy, because they show up late to everything, okay? I've done a lot of
black
events.
Dude, it's so funny when Dez O'Neill, I was doing his And Friends or whatever in August at the Improv. Like, it was, like, getting to be showtime, and a lot of... He was headlining the show, so, like, he brought a lot of people. And then, like, it was getting to be, like, 5 minutes before showtime, and he was still waiting on, like, a couple people to come. And then he just... I'm standing in the back of him. He's like, man, I fucking hate black people, dude.
Dude, it's true.
That was so funny.
He's right. Like, colored people time is a fucked up thing, dude.
Well, you know what? It's like, you know...
That's why they're ageless, though, because they don't believe in time. They don't. That's why they don't age.
That's... I think what it is, though, like, because people joke about that and talk about that, but really what it is, dude, because it's not even just, like, black people. It's, like, a bunch of motherfuckers. Like, Persians, same fucking shit.
It's color people.
It's cultural. Yeah. It's a cultural thing, because it's not, like, it's not about, like, a fuck. Dude, the whole idea of the clock and sticking to the second hand and the minute hand, that's all fucking my people. That's all, like, a German, fuck, the Protestant work ethic shit.
Yeah.
That's all came from, like, the fucking work day and the time and the clocks. All those white European motherfuckers are the ones that invented clocks and shit.
Yeah.
They fuck it. So we function by that clock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like certain cultures, they're not revolving around the clock.
All we had was the sun, dog. We were just staring at the sun.
Dude, court is every day. I don't want to focus on being on time for all of it. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, I've been on time the first 20.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm backing off this last few. I'm showing. I was late here. In fact, yeah. I was actually late here.
Oh, I thought you meant you weren't joining me on that joke. Come on, Tanner.
Yeah. Oh, you want me in? You want Tanner in? No, dude. But yeah, they are late to everything. But it was crazy because, like, there were white people trickling in, and I was like, man, like, y'all just really flipped the script on me. Like, I didn't know what to think. But there was one of his openers was Mark Curry.
Yeah. Dude. Mr. Cooper?
Yeah.
Hanging in with the Mr. Cooper. Remember that song? Remember his fucking sitcom? You didn't watch Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
I know, dude. There's so much TV.
Woo!
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of things.
He's great. He is amazing.
He fucking
killed. He's an underrated comic.
Dude, yeah.
People don't realize because that show was goofy and shit, and he kind of fell off in the 90s. Dude.
Yeah. He was fantastic. He did better than Cat Williams. I'll be honest with you.
You kind of buried him a little?
Yeah. Because
was he the feature?
Yeah.
He just had one opener?
Yeah. No, he had Pretty Ricky. It was a female. She was fucking fine, dude. She was so fine. I mean, good God. She was so hot. And she was funny also. Not as funny. I mean, the hotness took over. Like, for me, I was like, God, this girl's built like fucking bad, dude. But
how long did she do?
She did, I would say, about 15.
When'd you light her?
Man, I would have lit her at 10. Personally, would have lit her at 10. She had some good bits, though. There was a guy named fucking...
Well, he had a whole showcase, huh?
Yeah, he had a whole... I kind of like the way he had it set up because he had one guy who I don't fucking remember the name of. He started it. Then he brought out the host, and his name was like Red, something Red. I don't know. He's a young black guy. Apparently, he's like one of the Wayans, like bastard children. I don't know if any of that's
true. He hosted.
He was funny, but he wasn't as funny as...
So he came out and did it cold?
Who?
That guy?
That fucking first guy, yeah.
Yeah, Red or whatever?
No. There was someone before the host and opener.
God damn,
dude. It was wild, dude. So they had some random guy.
This is like a Red Room show.
It kind of felt like that because like he was like the first guy did it cold. I mean, they had a DJ, of course, and they had the music.
Did they have the God mic? Like, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the fucking comedy show?
Yeah, so someone did that, and then the guy came out on the stage, the first guy. He did 10. You could tell like he was like still new. That's why he was up front. And then the host was something Red.
I can't remember. You could tell he was new and he's already on with Cat Williams.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had some things, but it was just like, it wasn't like well polished. Anyway, I'm not sitting here to critique my dumb bullshit. So it was that Red guy. And then he brought out the voice, you know, like the Shanti and Ja Rule songs that always had like, the sing, like Ashanti did all those vocals.
Yes.
Okay. before Ashanti, there was a girl, I don't know her fucking name, but she did all the vocals, and Ashanti just copied and pasted what she did because I guess they were screwing out her money or whatever. He had her come out and sing. This woman had to be at least like 50 years old. She could carry a fucking tune. Like it was, but I was just like, this is
so
not.
So you have host,
opener, host, singer.
Opener, host?
Yeah, he was like, they called him the opener slash host. I don't know why.
Wait.
So there was the opener.
Okay.
They called the second guy the opener slash host. I don't know.
So why. There was one guy who came out, but he didn't host it. No. So he was like TK. He was like, hey guys, what's going on? We got a great show.
No, he did 10 minutes worth of material.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay. And then you had the opener host who did 15. You had the singer come out.
So then who hosted?
The second guy.
That's so weird.
It was a weird setup. I had no clue what the all fuck right. was going on.
Yeah. He's trying to hook people up.
Yeah. I think it was kind of cool the way he did.
Then there was a chick came out, sold fucking pies. Dude, that's how it happens. Some of these black shows, these comedians are like, hey, by the way, follow me on Instagram. And you're like, okay, they're going through their normal thing. And like, by the way, I make fucking sweet potato pie. I make fucking cornbread. And you're like, what the fuck?
I'll be in the parking lot. Like, wait.
I ain't got merch. I got food. Check this shit out.
Personally, would prefer that a little bit more than a t-shirt. Yeah.
Like, hey guys, what's going on? Remember my joke? How I fucking shine your shoes? Well, here's my fucking shirt. Shoe shine and shimmy.
I got a cum rag for you. You like my cum joke?
Oh, so is that a common thing? Because this guy, Wyatt Cody, that I've worked with, he says that and it always kills. He's like, hey, I got this shirt. It's from my joke. Makes a great cum rag.
No, I just kind of made that up.
He says that. He says, like, you know, it makes a great... He throws his shirt away and like calls it a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's like, makes a great cum rag. And everybody's like, he always gets a pop.
I'm sure he sells quite a bit of those shirts.
He does.
Too, because of that. Yeah.
This is my fucking cum rag. You know, Sean, about this is going to be my fucking cum rag. You guys fucking like that shit. How are you, man? I do comedy too.
You should have me on your show, dude. I do 10 minutes, dude. No problem.
Fucking, you ever check out fucking Hyenas Thursday, dude?
It was one time.
You ever been there? I fucking killed it there all the time. And my boy RJ used to make drinks there. I fucking got him fired.
You know the guy, the retarded guy in Ozark? Yeah, dude, I brought him up on stage, dude. Then I had to kick him off the stage, dude. Anyway, so it was Miss Pretty Ricky and then Mark Curry and then Cat Williams.
How long did Mark Curry do?
Dude, I would say about 20 minutes. And it was fucking...
Yeah, that's all he could do after he had 20 people.
Dude, it was crazy. It was crazy how great and calm he was. I didn't know who he was. I had no clue. I went in there not knowing. I don't watch a lot of comics.
Our generation-ish, you know, fucking hanging with Mr. Coop.
Yeah, I don't watch shit, you know. Okay. I've never watched fucking, like, there was a big show when I was a kid. What was it called? Boy Meets World.
You ever watch fucking Boy Meets World, dude?
People were like, oh, dude.
BMW?
Mr. Feeney's a fucking vibe or whatever. I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about, you loser? Okay, outside. Fucking.
Where are you watching this? You didn't watch TGIF? On Friday night, bro?
Nah, dude.
Fuck, dude. Step by Step, Boy Meets World, fucking Family Matters.
Dog, I was watching Dateline, all right?
After?
60 minutes, all right?
Sundays.
That had to be some shit on Friday that I was watching.
Okay, I don't know why this popped into my head, but dude, fucking speaking of arenas and stuff, just real quick, I went to a basketball game. My stepdad took me there when I was like in elementary school. And there was this family sitting in like the level above us, you know, so like, you know how like people's feet are kind of at the back of your chair when you're in arena style seating. So there was like this family and there was like a girl that was probably around my age at the time, like, you know, like 8, 9, and 10 or something like that. And she was just kind of like waving her feet back and forth. And all of a sudden, my stepdad turned around and went, stop kicking me. Like super fucking all aggressive and shit.
I'll beat this 8-year-old's ass.
Like, a fucking 9-year-old girl. He's like, stop kicking me. And then she was just like,
That poor girl's parents?
Well, they were all there. The family had 2 or 3 kids. I remember the dad being there vaguely, but I can't remember if the mom was there, but I don't know. Like I think it just happened. They were all talking and there was a big commotion. So like
he found the right time.
No one noticed anything. Yeah. But he did straight up went like, stop kicking me. Yeah.
He could have slapped the shit out of her. No one would have known. You know, that's a 50-50 like chance, like saying, hey, going to the parent and be like, hey, can you like tell your kid not to be kicking my...
You'd have to do that now. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm saying even back then, if someone was like that courteous, it's a 50-50 shot. Like this person's either going to be a real asshole or they're going to be like, oh shit, my kid's being a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually it doesn't go the way you want.
I was going to say, I feel like now you'd have to go to the parent instead of going like, stop kicking.
Well, I would. You should do that regardless, because that was traumatizing. That poor girl. She was like, now she was trying. Every time she goes to the toilet, she wants to kick her feet. Yeah, now she's never gonna kick her feet again.
Yeah, and it's not like he swore or anything. Yeah, like, it's not like he fucking.
He's just kinda, stern. It's kind of funny. Voice.
It's like he was saying it to like another adult.
Yeah, you know? I know he's a stern.
Like, stop kicking me,
you stupid woman.
It was like angry white guy.
Hey. You think this is
stop.
You think I paid $68 for these two seats just to be kicked by you?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So that was so funny.
Oh, man. Could you imagine if he was like, I'm going to get my son to whoop your ass. You know, stop. Do you think you would have hit her for your stepdad?
Would it hit the girl?
Yeah. Oh, fucking bitch. My stepdad said stop, you know?
No. No. I haven't done that.
No. Fucking pussy. I'm
trying to catch the game, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. You're, memorable game, huh?
Well, no.
You're such a pussy. I'm watching the game, Dad. Stop starting trouble.
I'm starting fucking security. All right. So, Cat Williams, Mark Curry came out and he killed it.
He fucking killed, dude.
Impressed you.
Impressed.
He enticed you.
As I was writing down their names to like try to remember, I was like, that was the first person I wrote down. Because I was like, this is, he was fucking, apparently, I don't know if you know any of this, but I was told by my brother-in-law that, I don't know if it's true, that apparently Steve Harvey stole a lot of his bits or something like that.
I don't know.
Oh. Oh, so you know enough about the black people, but not their business dealings, huh?
I don't want to get too close, bro.
Look, there's got to be some separation.
This is a working relationship, okay?
I see you at the club. I say hi, and after that,
I have
that,
your work number, not your home number, okay? Thank you.
You can call me during business hours, and I know you'll be sleeping during those hours.
Yeah.
But it was a great fucking time, dude. I was very impressed. But all the like typical black tropes of like hitting the microphone on the leg, like.
He did that?
Not Cat. Cat didn't do that. Cat,
Mark did?
No, not him either. Like, the more seasoned people didn't do it, but the younger people.
The real comics.
The real comics, yeah. But the younger people, like the host, the first guy, they had that.
Women be shopping!
Yeah, the aggressive, cut that music off! And
isn't that so
I
funny,
I fucking
dude.
Love that. Or,
were you laughing? You're laughing.
Dude, yeah. I was dying.
And was like, your wife like, what's funny?
My wife didn't go with me, but like.
Fuck!
When are you going to go? You want to go with that old fucking head?
You took your gumar?
Yeah, of course. I took my side girl. Yeah, she was black. I was like, look what I got you, sweetheart. Yeah, you like this guy.
Now? Where are you?
I'm still on fucking. Feet just got sent back to prison.
Oh, fuck. We'll get there. Okay.
But anyway.
So Mark came out, killed it, impressed you.
Mm-hmm. And then Cat
you should watch his specials on YouTube.
No, I'm gonna have to now. Like after I was that, I was like, holy shit, this guy is fucking hilarious.
He's great, dude. He's like if Will Smith had always done stand up. Like he's got that kind of vibe, like where he does characters and he does voices, you know, and like he's very, you can just tell he's one of those guys where you watch him and you're just, it's like Tommy Davidson, like where you watch him and you're like, wow, this guy's like really talented.
Yeah. And the thing about it, like a lot of I would say this about black comics, but they'll move a lot. They'll be very loud and like they'll catch your attention by like just doing flashy things, and it works. You know, it gets the crowd in. He did none of that. He was calm. He was quiet. He was like just talking very quietly. He's like, oh, you ever do this? And it just drawed me in so much because it was such a polar opposite. Yeah. And just like I was like, holy shit, this guy's fucking good, dude.
Yeah,
like really good.
Yeah.
Are you laughing because of my critique of black comics?
I'm laughing at that because you're like, you know, normally black comics, they're loud, they're making a lot of noise, they're making a lot of gestures. This guy, he kept to himself, he's quiet.
Tell me that that's not true. I do that shit because I know it fucking know. Works.
No, it does work. It does. Movement, people get interested in movement. Yeah. But I do it too.
Yeah, if you're able to fucking keep a crowd in tune without doing any of that shit.
He's been doing it a long time.
Yeah, so it's just like, holy shit, dad. But yeah.
So you just stood there and killed?
Yeah. He sat on a stool.
What? Okay, so I'm sorry. So watch, when you watch his videos, like if you watch his Comedy Central Presents, you watch any kind of specials on YouTube, if it's old, because I think he did stand up and then he had a lot of TV success and then kind of chilled out for a while. And now he's back doing it. If you watch his shit from the 90s and the early 2000s, he's going to be, he moves around, he does act outs, he's very good, he's very funny, but like, you know, he does a lot of that, so I guess now he's just chilling.
Dude, he's just chilling, and it was great. I don't know any of his old material, so I couldn't tell you if it was rehash shit, but it was like fucking dope. And then Cat was great. You could tell there was some new stuff that he was trying to like find the footing for, but it kind of hit and miss, but his closure was fucking great. I'm not going to ruin it, but it was very funny. Like the way it ended, and I was like, damn, I wanted more because it was such a good bit. But I will say it was pretty fucking funny.
You know what I was thinking about doing just to piss everybody off in the DFW comedy scene? I was thinking about posting that show flyer and going like, doing a guest spot on this. We're like, what the fuck? He's getting everything. This fucking guy's getting everything, dude. Fuck this guy.
And you'd get some text, hey man, good for you. But on the other side, like, fucking God, dude, yeah, what know, is he dude. Doing?
Oh, yeah,
God
dude.
Damn him.
What the fuck, dude? Whose
dick is he sucking now?
I know. Dude, like, you gotta be kidding me, dude.
Okay, he can't just stay at the loony bin? No, he's gotta fucking move on. You should have fucking done it, dude. That'd have been
just to fucking troll everybody.
Because yeah, you know what? There would have been, like, some, like, believability because of how far you've progressed.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd
yeah.
be like, there's no fucking way, dude. He is black adjacent.
Dude, God. Dude, yeah. People would just be like, fucking.
Fucking God.
Dude, people would be talking. It would get back around to you like, you thought that motherfucker you saw, he was fucking, he did a guest spot? Cat Williams at the Windstar Casino?
You would have been better than the first guy. For realistically, you would have been way better than the first guy. Because he was, great. I'm not trying to be too shitty because you could tell he's like still new, but I was like, this is something you get like at an open mic or like a showcase where you're a friend of a friend and you're like, yeah, I thought about doing stand up before. I have some thoughts.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm sure Kat was great. I'm sure that was great.
Yeah, he was good. He was really good. Dude. But you know, the weird thing, I don't
know. You know, he started in Oklahoma.
Nah, dog.
He started in Oklahoma City.
Really?
Yeah. There's a guy, I forgot his name, John something, just fucking guy that just worked at the Comedy Store, was a comedy store for a long time. He was on their podcast talking about it like a couple of years ago. And he was saying like, back when I started, you know, I'm from Oklahoma City. Back when I started, you know, there was like one club in town. It was in the fucking 90s, early 90s. And there was this guy, like, you know, light-skinned black dude. Funny enough. He was young, though. He was a new comic like me, just starting out. And went to a couple mics with him, hung around with him in the scene a little. Then one day he said, hey, I got to get out of town, man. Can I borrow $50? I promise I'll pay you back sometime. And I gave him that $50, never saw him again, never paid me back, never heard from him. And that was Cat Williams.
Oh, shit, dude.
I don't even know if he was calling himself that back then.
He disappeared and became Cat Williams.
He was going by whatever he went by back then. Because I know he, like, in the Bay Area when he was in Oakland, like, when he started doing comedy before he went to L.A., he was Cat in the Hat. That was his fucking name for a while.
Yeah.
And then he changed it to Cat Williams.
Great move.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And the head.
Because he was like, that's where he got really good, I think, is in Oakland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you would have to be good in Oakland. I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know Oakland very well, but I just don't think it's like the friendliest environment.
No, it's a hardcore city, man.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough.
I would assume.
Kind of a chocolate city a little bit.
I can see that. But
not as much. I mean, it's getting so expensive. People move to the outskirts now, but
yeah. I just assume like it just seems like it would be a tough place. To do comedy, like
it you better still be is a very tough place.
Like I feel like you better be fucking funny, otherwise get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Which I respect. I think that's the way you should do comedy. You should be funny.
You know what was funny though? When I did a bar show, it was basically like a fucking Latino bar show. This dude that I opened for at TK's, he told his buddy about me and got me a spot on this bar show while I was in LA in August. Okay. So I did a spot at 10 minutes on this bar show. Very nice dude. Great show. Great crowd. Right.
Nice.
Great fucking place. The guy who was headlining, I guess, you know, he's like a 30-year comic, whatever. I hadn't heard of him before, but he's like been around.
Yeah.
He was really funny. But he was waiting to go on stage. He was outside.
For 30 years, you better be.
All right. He was outside smoking a cigarette, you know, like I forgot his name, Hispanic dude. Nice dude though. Uh-huh. And he's like, hey man, that was good. That was a good set. You know, that was nice. Funny. You know, and then it's so weird though, because like he was like, yeah, this new cat over here, you know, he's only been doing it for like a couple years. I didn't tell. He's like, you know how these new cats are.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, yeah, I know how these new cats are.
Yeah.
And then so the guy that is like just sitting on the bench, he's like, yeah, you know, this guy's taking me under his wing. I'm trying to learn. He went on before me. I think he brought a bunch of people or something. Nice dude.
Yeah.
He did pretty well. But then he's like, I'm trying to school this guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to take him around, take him to rooms, you know? I told him, bro, I'll take you to black rooms you don't even want to be in. It's like, that sounds fucking great. That sounds like, is that a great advertisement?
What, bro, a travel agent.
You don't even know if you're going to get out when you go in, bro.
I'm going to run them pockets, boy. You better watch out.
I'll take you to black rooms, bro. You don't even want to fucking, you're going to fucking get shot in, dude. It's like, yeah, that sounds like a great challenge, dude.
You got insurance? Why? Yeah. Huh? No
it
reason.
It was just funny.
That's so fucking funny. Yeah. I mean.
Any highlights
from.
Any more highlights, Cat Williams?
No, I don't want to ruin any of his. He did have like some video mon jokes that ran on video. It was like, I don't know if he's done that before because I've never, I only listened to the albums. I don't know. I've never watched. So I don't know if
he's, he had
like some media, like he had like videos playing in the background a little bit on some of his jokes.
I don't know. I mean, he hasn't done that. He's done a couple music things with his specials, but I don't know what, I've never seen his like live show before. So I don't know if his special is different from what he actually, yeah. You know what I mean?
He just like, he played like a couple viral clips and then made like joked about like, that was like the premise of where he was going. But I guess he wanted everybody to be on the same page about where he got his idea from, yeah, I guess. But anyway, great. I got nothing else to say. That's enough talking about black people. Move on. I'm just kidding. No, it was good. It was like,
now we're going to talk about Sopranos. Yeah, we really don't talk about fucking.
We don't talk about them.
Stay with your own people. Yeah. So,
Nixon, you don't mix.
But yeah, no, that's amazing. That's awesome, dude. He's a fucking great comic, dude. I love that guy.
I actually had to thank my mom. I would have never gone, but my mom was like, hey, will you take me to go see this? And I was just like, you don't ask for anything. Like, fuck yeah, dude. Like, I didn't realize my mom was into Cat Williams at all. That's a pretty dope thing to be into. So, it was worth it. So thanks, Mom.
I like how Mark Curry just sat there on a stool and just murdered.
Dude, I wish I could have recorded that. I should have recorded that set, but I was just like, man, that was so fucking.
So he's like a Paul Mooney at this point.
Yeah, I guess.
Just sitting there fucking killing.
Killing, dude. It was so great. It was probably my favorite part of the, it was my favorite part of the whole fucking night. I'm trying to think. Oh, actually, I went to go buy a beer, and because immigration's so dope in this country, like there's nothing but people that don't speak English on the other side of the register taking my money. And I was like, how much is the beer? She was like, $9. I gave her a 20. No, she says $11.
You got a lot of problems with buying alcohol from people in Oklahoma, and you have problems.
Oh, yeah, sure. You remember that last time. That last time was a white devil woman.
Yeah.
This time it was a nice, I think she was Guatemalan.
The best.
Yeah. This time it was a Guatemalan girl. And so it was $11 for a beer, which is, first off, average prices for an arena. Like, it's going to be a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I give her a 20. I should have just got $9 back. She gave me $11. I made money that day. It was a great time. So that's a highlight. Take that into the fucking bank, dude.
That is. I was just looking at my list.
Oh, yeah.
I have things I want to talk about with you that I forgot. And I'm glad you remember Cat Williams because that's one of the things I wanted you to talk about.
I remember things.
So thanks for sharing. Hey.
Thank you,
Chris. Thanks for sharing that experience with Cat Williams. This is the Crux Yeah Podcast. And for those of you that don't know, you can listen to us on Sundays.
It's a safe place to share your experiences, all types.
Yeah. Okay, so K-cock. Shooting loads in the industry's throat.
Don't puke. There's a lot of cum coming. There's a lot of cumming. To be. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Whatever.
Okay, so
what was the next thing?
And then I was at Black Adjacent. I was at Addison Improv. Baby.
You sure were.
Sold out.
Yeah.
90% black female audience between the ages of 30 to 50.
Who are you opening for?
This chick, EJ Speaks. She was actually really cool. EJ Speaks. She's like really big on social media. She's done some writing for BET Awards and stuff. She's funny. She's really funny. She had her people, man.
Damn.
Sold out. She was very nice. We met her in the green room before, and she told Sri was the feature, and then I was the host. And she told us, don't adjust your language. Don't feel like you need to, you know, change anything. Do your thing out there, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
So you hit the stage, you go, Trump, 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 Trump. And they're like, and they started clapping because you're speaking.
No, I got to have fun with it, dude. I got to fuck around. Like, it just like, I kept the mic in the stand for a while. And I was just like, hey, so glad you guys came out to see me tonight, you know? And then they were all like, you know? And I was like.
It's a different crowd. It's a different energy. It's a lot.
And I was like, look at all these people over here. Like, we didn't come to see you, motherfucker. Get your tall, goofy ass off the stage. Who the fuck do you? So I got to fuck around, dude. Yeah. And it was doing well. It was cool. I got to have some fun. And
that's dope, dude. That's really
mess around a little bit.
Black Adjacent. I mean, Sri Raj is practically black. Practically.
Yeah.
Now tell me I'm wrong.
I don't
think he's white.
He's definitely not white. Definitely not, bro.
Yeah, he's closer to black than he is white. I'll tell you that much.
That was a fun show, dude.
That was pretty dope.
That was cool.
Did you get her number? Tell her what's up?
No.
All right.
No, but she did. I said, where are you based out of? Because she had like her.
Don't yawn when you're talking about this.
She had like her manager with her.
Uh-huh.
Like our guy or assistant or whatever the fuck. And then I was like, where are you guys based out of? And they said Little Rock. And I was like, oh, I've done the Looney Bin. You know, I work at the Looney Bin or whatever. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And they're like, what's the Looney Bin?
That'd be funny.
The fuck's
that? Oh, we don't do those. Yeah.
The fuck is he talking about? Looney Bin, dude. Don't go to them shows.
Did you ever have a telemarketer job?
No, man. Hell no. Shit no. Like the scum of the earth.
Okay.
Is that what I... Oh, have you? Yeah. Hey, I'm a used car salesman. Of course I was a telemarketer beforehand.
Yeah.
Were you?
I was. Oh, yeah. No,
okay. Why did you ask that question?
I was asking because I was thinking of a funny fucking thing that I did when I had that job.
Oh, shit.
So, like, when I was a telemarketer, I was, like, in sales telemarketing. So, I was convincing people to get transferred to a loan officer to talk about refinancing their mortgages. But this is before the fucking meltdown. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like getting people to refinance.
Meltdown. I like that. The meltdown.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So this is people. So this is like, I was talking to people that fucking like, I'd talk to them and be like, hey, I'm calling about your house on whatever avenue or whatever. And they're like, oh, well, which, or I'd say I'm calling about your home and refinancing. And then they'd be like, which home?
Damn.
They're like, what? And like, where you work? McDonald's. That's how I knew something was weird.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, what the fuck? How are these people, how do they have houses? Like, I didn't understand shit about mortgages or houses. I didn't have any fucking money. Yeah.
Your job was to mediate them getting to the person who knew about that.
Yeah, dude, I was in college. I was in bands. Like, I didn't have any idea about anything. Yeah. I didn't have any money of my own. Like, I fucking didn't have any idea what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't know.
Let me transfer you to someone who does
know. Check it out. I didn't understand how things worked. Yeah. But that's how I knew something was weird about, like, the industry or, like, mortgages or whatever was going on because it was like, dude, how do these people who have these like menial jobs have like more than one house?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, living the American dream.
I was like, what the fuck? You know? Like,
is there a point to this?
No, that's it.
Oh, okay.
No, but seriously though, this is the funny thing. So, like, we do a lot of
waiting for it, dude.
I'm waiting for the funny, bro, because I certainly haven't heard it yet. That first guy at the Cat Williams show is fucking gaining on me right now. So, no. What was funny about that was that we used to fuck around. I used to work with like a regular crew of guys.
Yeah.
So there was this guy, and this Korean dude, right? And, he was like, you know, he was fucking Korean American.
Korean as shit, dude.
Yeah, he was like Americanized, whatever. So he was, he talked to a girl that did like a prank thing on him where she went like, oh yeah, like I'm so horny right now, like fuck,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I want to talk dirty, and he was like, bro, the freakiest shit just happened when I just hung out with this chick, you know, and like fucking. And then I was like, really? You know? So I fucking looked at his screen. I took down the number.
Uh-huh.
And I fucking went home. And I called her on my phone.
Nice.
Because I was like, holy shit, this is crazy, right?
Because you fully believed.
I couldn't tell. Okay. I wanted to find out.
Yeah.
Okay? So I called her from my fucking cell.
Nice.
And I was like, hey, this is Josh from the, because I had to pretend to be him, right? So I had to sound like this guy because I can't go like, hey, what's going on? I'm a completely different dude, you know? I had to be the guy so she would remember, right? So, hey, this is Josh calling you from the call center, you know, about the mortgages, you know? And she was like, oh, like I was just like joking around.
Yeah.
You're like a telemarketer calling. And then I was like, do you want to keep joking around?
That's so fucking creepy.
I swear to God. Dude, I swear to God, dude. I was like, do you want to keep joking around?
Dude, hold on. What if she was just like, well, yeah, I guess we can. And then she starts doing it again and you get all worked up.
And I have to, oh, fuck, this is so good. Fuck, you're so fucking hot. God. I had to pretend to be a Korean American 20-year-old.
By the time you come, you're just still stuck in the character, and it just triggers something in your brain, and that's just you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it just switches me, bro. I just fucking talk like this. Like
every time you want to have sex with a girl, you just start talking like a Korean American.
Fuck, that's fucking good.
That's so stupid.
Bro, it's so fucking good.
Dude, it's so creepy that you
dude, I swear that. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I just remembered this today. Because I worked in that call center for, I worked in that place for like a year.
dude, that's so fucking cool.
Yeah, dude.
It's so cool that you did that. Because
It was like an auto dialer service, right? Yeah. So like it's one of these systems, like the way those things work, if you don't know, is like they have machines that are calling like 10 numbers at once constantly, right? So when you hit, like, you'd log into your shit and you go like beep, like you turn your shit on to receive calls, the auto dialer starts just dialing like numbers. That's why sometimes, like, if you get telemarketing calls, you know how, like, if you've ever taken one, you go like hello.
Yeah.
Hello. And then all of a sudden you hear the line open and it's like, oh, hello, how's it going? Is this Mark? You know what I mean?
No.
Because they're dialing 20, this machine is dialing 20 numbers at once and they're waiting for someone to pick up and stay on the line. And then they patch it into, it gets patched into, the software patches it into your shit.
Yeah.
So that's why it takes a second. So sometimes I get calls and people are like, hello. Oh, sorry, sir. How's it going? You know, is this fucking Jim Joe Jackoff? Hey, how's it going? You know, I'm calling you about this letter that you received in the mail. I don't know if you received it, but it was a letter that you got. I don't know if you recall in a letter.
No. Nope.
And then people, but people would go like, I can't believe it. Right. But some people would be like, well, I don't remember a letter. And you're like, oh, that's strange. Yeah. We did send it to you. You know, so, but anyway, it was about, you know, refinancing.
Yeah.
So we would do that. So all the information would pop up. So I just looked on the screen and he was like, whoa, just because we could mute. You have a mute button for your headset. So I was like, whoa, this chick is getting fucking freaky on the phone. So I was like, fucking really? Mm. So I fucking took the number down. And I was like, really? He was like, what was she saying? You know, and he's like, bro, listen, bro. And like he put it on my fucking ear for a second. She was like,
Did she sound hot?
She did.
Okay.
She did. She sounded pretty good.
That makes me wonder, like.
So then he puts the fucking headset back on. He's just like, oh, this is crazy, bro, you know? And then fucking I was like, you know, wrote that shit down, you know? And he was like, fucking.
Dude, that's so crazy.
Oh, yeah. I remember one time I worked with this other dude who was like, he was like French. He was like, he was like fucking, we were just fucking around. We were talking, you know, we're all students, dude. We're all fucking like, you know, 19, 20, like.
Yeah. Just
fucking around. This isn't a job that any of us gave a shit about, you know? So
why you're not a manager there.
Huh?
That's why you didn't become management there.
No. Oh, dude, the fucking manager. The manager was this 40-year-old black dude who played bass in a band.
Oh, fuck.
And he was just like constantly banging all of the white chicks that worked in the fucking call center.
Fuck yeah,
like,
dude.
He basically hire them in the call center and like a prerequisite that you were gonna fuck him probably.
Yeah.
So anyway,
reparations.
He's a cool dude.
He sounds like a fucking dope. He plays the bass. He's a manager at a call center and he's fucking white bitches.
Yes.
Fucking
yes,
trifecta that's it, right dude. There.
And he would always like, whenever people went into his office, he would like play them his band. everybody who worked there, bro, even the executives over there, they'd be like, hey, check out my band, bro.
Fuck that. Never mind.
Yeah, no, he was interesting.
That
he
took him down a peg or two, but I'm sorry.
He was a character, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a funny story about that dude in a second, like a side story. But anyway, so we're just fucking around, bro. Like we're all students, like, you know, super young.
Yeah.
And he goes like, hey, are you interested in fucking? And he thought the chick hung up because we get hung up on all the time.
Fuck yeah.
So then he just goes. So he's like, hey, you know, I thought you would maybe be interested in refining. And he just goes, fuck, bro. I'm just not in a calling mood today. You know? And then fucking chick's like, hello. And he's like, oh, fuck. And he hung up the phone. He just goes, not in a calling mood.
I mean, I don't, but dude, that has to be says like a job that beats you down.
It's because, a grind, man. Because you have to stay focused.
Yeah.
You have to stay focused. Like, you, and if you don't, like, I came out of the gate swinging. I did really well, made some money, but then you just get fucking burned out. And if you can't maintain focus, it's because you got to be focused.
Yeah. And meth could have done you really well on that job, but you were
It could have. Yeah.
Addicted to heroin and you're recovering.
Yeah.
Anyway, that sounds like a terrible job. I'm glad you had it.
I had it.
I'm glad you had it.
I had it.
My bad job was McDonald's at 16. That was the worst job
I had. I worked at McDonald's.
Oh, did you really?
15, yeah.
Man, did they tell you about how, did the manager take you to the side and tell you how great it could be for you if you stay with McDonald's?
No.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's really
He didn't
good.
Really give a shit if I worked there or not when I worked at McDonald's. Like I replied and he was like, okay.
Okay.
Yep. And then like took me in, hired me. I interviewed. He put me on the register, took orders. And then when I said I was going to quit, he was like, oh, okay. Like, he didn't fucking give a shit.
Two fucks.
It was in a, like a neighborhood that I didn't normally, it was like, it was kind of by downtown, which it was the only one, it was one that I don't even know why I ended up choosing to apply to that one, bro. But like, I just did for some weird reason. And like, my point is there, it wasn't like a suburban McDonald's. So it's not like I was the only teenager. Everyone else was like in their 20s and older.
Yeah.
That was working there. So like, it was kind of like, oh yeah, like the kids working here. We don't really give a shit.
Yeah. You know? You're not going to be here forever.
I did so many drugs and had to go to work.
The guys on McDonald's. The fryer, they're going to be there for life. You kid? Probably not.
Dude, I remember I went there the day after I took a bunch of fucking cough medicine for the first time, you know, DXM, where you take all the pills.
Nice.
After my first night of doing that, I had to go there and I was like thinking to myself, like, these people are eating trash.
Don't you
America know? America's getting fed trash. I was looking at the fries. The fries look so greasy and gross and shit.
Do you know what you're putting in your body, man?
Yeah, I was just like sitting there looking at the fries getting shoveled into the fucking boxes, like, these people are fucking eating, just getting fueled by trash.
It's funny. That you became the you that just goes to Taco Bell and eats like five fucking burritos and be like, this is good shit, dude.
Yeah. A who? Yeah. Can I get a quesarito? A who? Huh?
So fucking funny.
Oh, dude.
Oh, shit. I was going to say, the manager at my McDonald's that I worked at, first day, he put me on the morning drive-through. I've never had no training. And he just put me on there. So I had to figure shit out on the go. And I guess he was impressed that I wasn't a complete idiot and figured it out. He took me aside like a couple days later and he was just like, look, I know it doesn't look like much, but if you stick with McDonald's, go to McDonald's University. Hold on. He's like, you could have a life like mine. I make $54,000 a year. I was like, dog, I am not doing this. I was like, you're glistening oil, you're balding, and I think you might be a closeted homosexual. Just like, this is not the life
for me. Dude, he totally was. How old were you?
Dude, I was 16. I was 16.
Is that McDonald's still there?
Yeah, it's still there.
Which one is it?
The one in Azle.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you were out that way.
Yeah, okay. The one in Azle. So, like, I should go back out there.
I'm going to Taco Casa, dude. Fuck you.
I'm going to bigger and better places, dude. I'm going to TCU, dude. Yeah, but no, I was like, I am not going to be sticking around here. And everybody there was, and I do miss working in drive, like fast food areas, because I was too young to realize it then. But the people that are older, like 20 and up, working there and taking it as a serious job, they have nowhere else to go. They're at life's end. They've reached the game of life, and they've collected everything they could, and nothing's going to get better for them unless another fast food job opens up.
Yeah.
I miss those people because they were salt of the earth.
They make you feel so better about yourself.
Yes.
That's so funny. He's glistening. Yes. And all. He's like, now look, you can be like me one day. I mean, what race was this guy?
White guy.
A white guy?
White, over
$54,000 a year.
4K a year, living probably in a one-bedroom apartment who has a guy come over sometimes. They're not really dating, but you know what?
You can live with me for a while.
Yeah.
You get ready to go to McDonald's University. We'll share the same bed, but it's okay. We don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
Such high alert.
Yeah.
From just like weird shit like that. There was an older white, when I used to work at Taco Casa, an older white guy would come to the drive-thru all the time, and I would give him his food, and he eventually got to the point like, hey, and I was like, hey, how you doing? You know, we'd be friendly with each other. And he was like, hey, anytime you want to come work for me, let me know. I have no idea what this man did for work. And he was like, you want to come work for me? You come work for me. And I was just like, I'll think about it. I was like, I don't need some like creepy. Why is it always creepy old men coming on to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm hot to them. So
yeah.
I take it when I can get it.
Yeah.
Don't do that. It's creeping me out, bro, dude.
Yeah,
dude.
That's fucking funny. Okay, dude. It was so funny. I would be in, so if I were you, I'd be like, man, fuck you. You think this is my fucking career path, bro? Like, fuck you. Like, What the fuck?
I think he was just surprised that I wasn't a fucking burnout and I showed up to work and I was able to figure things
out.
You're
like, yeah, and that's why I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, he was just like, if I get him early, he's stuck with us forever. And I know, no, I'm good, dude. I didn't even know, to me, at that age, 54K sounded, no, that's like half 100K. I was like, yeah, that's not crazy.
Yeah.
But it was just like being at McDonald's.
I like how we both just went, ha, 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 ha.
I mean, realistically, we both make more than
54K. Well, I think it's so funny how it's cool. I think it's funny when people brag about how much they make in general.
Yeah.
But I always think it's funny when people brag about making like a very fucking mediocre amount of money.
Amount of money for the amount of hours that man had to put in and the stress load. I mean, he had to be at least 32 or 33. Balding. Complete, like... He had some of that wispy hair that grows up on top, but that was it. I was like, this doesn't look like a fun job. I was like, and I seen the people that you hire. They're a bunch of fucking retards.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. Talk about, there was this fucking middle-aged fucking weird dude that like was the manager of one of my bands back in the day.
Nice.
And he was like in his 50s, and he was like, guys, look at me, man. I mean, check it out. Look, this is the job I got. I make fucking $25 an hour or whatever. Like he was bragging. He's like, I got a great job. You know, I got a great job. That's why I'm like, I'm going to take you guys to the top. Dude, and he fucking like, he paid for like all this studio time. We recorded like a 10-song album at this guy's studio that he was like friends with or whatever. And he paid for it all.
Holy shit.
Right? Because he was like thinking like we were going to make this like big album.
Yeah.
So we recorded it all. We, you know, recorded 10 songs. And the guy was cool. And then fucking... Then the dude saw how much it was going to cost to pay for all those songs. The guy that was like our manager or whatever, quote unquote.
The guy that makes $25 an hour.
Yeah, right? And he fucking didn't want to pay the dude that much money. And the guy was like, hey, he doesn't want to pay. We're like, we don't fucking know, bro. We don't fucking, we're 21. We don't have any fucking money.
We're musicians, dude.
Yeah, we're like, dude, fuck it. He said he was going to pay. And he's like, well, I don't know what to do. He's saying he's not paying. I'm like, talk to him, dude. I don't fucking know what to tell you.
That album never got released. That album, did it get released eventually?
Yeah, it got released, but like he fucking, and then he like went and got us, like he's like, I'll take care of you guys. He like went and got us like Subway sandwiches, like while we were recording, like fuel up. Let's get back in there.
I got y'all 6 inches. Aren't y'all happy? You don't like Black Forest ham? Don't be ungrateful. Come on, man.
Dude, it was so funny. It's like, we'll make our own sandwiches, dude. We don't want to fucking eat something you mixed yourself. But
25 an hour is...
It was something like that. Yeah. It was some... I don't remember if it was exactly that much, but it was something where you like you heard it and you go like, wait a minute. Hey, like, what? Yeah. That's not even that much money.
No. All right,
yeah. Like, that sounds cool to like nobody. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
dude, this happened to me this week. One is the area that I... I'm a delivery driver. For a giant company, and I delivered chips, and you can
make
figure
$54,000 a year,
and I make $24,000 a year. I'm very happy with my. I was delivering, and it's in a rough area, and there is these people like sitting on a curb, right? And
right.
And they're like, "Hey, what's up with them chips, man? Throw me some chips." And I was like,
"Oh shit!"
It happens all the time, and I'm just like, "Oh man, this shit's for them." And they flashed a whole bunch of money at me, like hundreds, and they're like, come on, man, we can buy some chips from you. And I was like, no, I'm good. And I go inside the store, and I'm thinking to myself, like, if y'all got, like, money to be flashing around to buy chips.
Why don't you just go in the fucking store and buy the chips?
Thank you. Why are you trying to get it from me?
Or I guess maybe they were thinking, like, on a hustle level of things, if they bought a bulk amount of chips from you, and then they could resell them in the fucking neighborhood.
Maybe
for a markup. Maybe they're trying to be entrepreneurial.
But I could easily overcharge them because they have no idea how much the chips cost. They would have to go on, hey, you're getting a deal.
The wholesale prices.
Yeah, they wouldn't know.
What if they offered to buy each bag? I mean, it's not super hard to figure out. Like, obviously, they don't know the exact numbers. But what if they're like, look, we'll buy each bag off you for $1 each, and you keep the money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean, but you would then your inventory would probably be off.
They it would track be way of all off. That yeah. shit. You, yeah, they do track
your all palette shit. Would be short.
Yeah, they would. They wouldn't be happy with any of that shit at that corporate. But I was just thinking, like, why don't you have this much money? First off, go inside, buy the shit, and secondly, where's your vehicle? Because there was no car around them.
Yeah,
if you're flashing all this money, buy a fucking car, at least a bike with some pegs on
so
it.
So you said, how about you buy a car?
Yeah, and then I got stabbed in the parking lot. We took his chips. We ran a hustle on him.
All right, so Sopranos, you're on
Sopranos,
season 5.
Season 5.
The Feast just got sent back to the can.
Yeah. He was harboring TVs And this parole officer showed up, and I was like, oh, that's a clever way to get rid of him. Because I was like, I thought they were going to kill him. I was like,
isn't that great when Paulie and him are arguing? In my book, you get points for staying out of the can. Well, that's good. We're not functioning by your fucking book. I got the fuck out of my store. So good.
He was a terrifying man. I mean,
he did a great job, dude. Robert Loggia killed it.
I don't know who. I have heard the name before. I don't know. I'm sure I've seen him in other
Family
movies.
Guy. Hello, you've reached Robert Loggia. Yeah.
It's probably the only time I've ever really heard his voice. I'm sure I've seen him in movies. In
tons of shit.
I'm sure I have seen him, but like that was like, oh, he's kind of terrifying. He doesn't like a cute old. He wouldn't play Father Christmas very well because he'd be terrifying.
He did a great job. Time.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
It's my first day in. I got a mean puss on. I find the biggest, blackest motherfucker in there. You got a fucking problem.
It's good, though, so far. I enjoy fucking the little Anthony Jr. He got his eyebrows shaved off.
Yeah. What's different about you? Mudvayne, he's going to the Mudvayne concert.
That's pretty fucking dope. But what I enjoy is like I forget how unhinged people look without eyebrows.
Oh yeah, dude. Did you ever go to high? I went to high school with kids who would shave them off.
So did I. I think he did it on a dare, but it like got him attention, so he did it again, and I was just like, you just look insane.
Weird. You look just, weird.
Yeah.
How Tony goes. What's different about you?
He can't quite place the fact he's missing two eyebrows there.
And then fucking Carmelo's like, they shaved his eyebrows off!
Wait, the thing he was worried about most is like, were you doing some fucking gay stuff? Yeah, like
weird sex and fucking those books they got you reading there in the fucking schools.
That was his
fucking thing. Gay weird sex!
That was
and fucking, he was like, what? No.
His biggest worry
was popish and weird sex. He's fucking getting all fucking crazy.
Oh shit, dude, that was so fucking.
Yeah, that's
funny.
The funny thing. Like, if you ever get into when you finish a series, if you want to listen to Talking Sopranos, where they go through the episodes, they bring that point up. Like when he gets, oh fuck, I'm not gonna say anything because this is something you haven't watched yet. Anyway, they criticize Carmela because she's just fucking. Bitches, way too my like. Now that I watch the show, because like, okay, I watched it back in the day when I was like super young.
Yeah, now you're married and you hear it all the time.
I understand more about how the world works. Like, I have like big boy bills and I understand shit. And I'm in my 30s now, so it's like I understand a lot more of what they talk about. Uh-huh. I didn't have a lot of responsibilities and a lot of these like bills, and I didn't understand how like business worked, and I didn't understand how a lot of things in the world worked.
Yeah.
So when they talk about certain things, when they're talking about the businesses they're involved in, the mortgage scams, like this, that, like all kinds of shit they talk about, and the people they do business with, I understand it on such a better level now.
Yeah, because you're a scumbag.
And also, now that I have kids, I can understand it from, like, a parent perspective. So, like, God, Carmela is just like, Jesus Christ, you ever shut the fuck up.
Hey.
She nags.
She's a caring mother, okay?
Dude, you know what I mean, though? She's like, will you stop it? Like,
yeah. I was realizing, like, there's some parallels between Carmela and Anthony Jr. that kind of mimics, like, Tony's relationship with his mother.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, that's kind of fun. You're right. She's nagging a lot. I was worried about you.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to you.
You sound like a Muppet.
Yeah.
I was worried about you. I was
worried about you. Oscar, where did you go?
Leave me the fuck alone.
All right, Robert Loggia, calm down.
I live in a trash can. It's Robert Loggia as Oscar the Grouch. Listen, you fucking kids, shut the fuck up.
Now that opens up the world to like what other Muppet characters are fucking Soprano characters. Like what, like, because obviously Oscar the Grouch would be Robert Loggia's character. Who, Ernie, who would Ernie be?
Bacala.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Come on, Bert. I'm fucking dying over here. You're going to drive me crazy in this house. I need more responsibilities. I mean, you're Sopranos. You take it too far. Or something, I don't know.
That's a pretty good one. That's yeah. Very soft.
He's all frumpty-dumpty.
Yeah, frumpty-dumpty, a little soft.
Junior, come on. Have some decency. Who would be Junior? He's the best.
Junior. Oh, fucking. Who would be Junior? Oh.
I love that. He's retired now. What's this, the fucking Navy? What are we in here? The fucking Navy?
I'm trying to think. I can't think of another fucking Muppets. What other Muppets are there?
Are we talking about Muppets or Sesame Street?
Sesame Street, yeah. But they're Muppets. Let's be realistic.
I mean, if Beaker got an attitude or something, he's a Muppet, right?
Oh, so yeah.
He was a junior.
Yeah.
What the fuck is your problem? Hey, kid, what the fuck are you looking at?
Such an abrasive old man. Yeah. He's such a dick. I know. All right, who would be Tony me? Heavy breathing. You got a lot of heavy
breathing. Snuffle up, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably.
What the fuck is your problem? I fucking live on a street. He's like in fucking therapy. He's like sitting
Big
there.
Birds.
I live on a street with a fucking bird. Giant bird.
He's a big
This is who I have to do
thing.
Business with on a daily basis. He breaks says, my fucking balls, this bird.
That's a lot of dumb shit. So I assume that Big Bird would be fucking Chrissy.
Okay.
Say, yeah, I think Chris.
Hey, Tone.
Yeah, Tone.
How's it going?
It would be Polly.
Huh?
Polly.
Polly.
Now, Grover's a Muppet, right? He's not a...
I can't fucking remember. No, he's Sesame Street. Dude. Fucking Elmo would be fucking... <That's>... be fucking Carmella.
Tony! He's a child!
I don't know, Polly. Who would Polly be?
Oh fuck! It. I don't. I think we're out of Muppets.
We're out of Muppets.
I think we're out of Muppets.
If Feach was fucking Oscar, that'd be fucking great.
That would
great.
Be dead on.
Will you kids keep it the fuck down? Some of us live on a fucking street.
Back in my day,
I love it. Yeah, back in my day, I fucking loved that when he's like, "So fucking, just if you want to fucking reminisce or whatever, shut the fuck up!" And he just fucking yells at him. Dude, it's so good.
Dude, I enjoy that so much. And this is like the obvious power of like Tony is that he doesn't stand up at all when he's threatening him. I was like, that's how you know a motherfucker's bad. If he's not getting up to like get on your level of like intensity, he's just like, look. Shut the fuck up. I was like, dude, this guy's fucking dangerous. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, throughout the whole season, but there's such like a subtlety of that power.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just sitting there and looking up at like, I'm not afraid of you. You could easily make a move. And I'd have to like work double time to get up on your level.
Yeah.
Fuck, I thought that was so cool.
Oh, yeah. But, no, it's fucking great. Yeah. And I love how he's telling the story because you know how the card game comes up throughout the series.
Yeah.
Like they bring it up, like Richie April brings it up and then fucking Ralphie talks about it to Jackie Jr.
The car knocked over. Yeah.
Yep. And then he fucking brings it up. He's like, fucking, they come in. This one is fucking scared. And then Tony he doesn't like it. So he cuts him off. He's like, we don't need to go down this fucking thing. You know?
Yeah. That's power right there. Dude. Hey, look, you said what you said. That's fucking.
Yeah. He cuts him off a lot. And I don't blame him, dude. Cause the guy's trying to challenge him.
Oh yeah.
The guy thinks Junior's still in charge and Tony's still a kid. He's like, this ain't the '70s and I'm not a fucking kid. He says that to Phil Leotardo.
Who's fucking Phil?
Phil, Frank Vincent, the guy with fucking the white hair, New York. Oh. That's one of my favorites, dude, with the chick. I forgot her name in the fucking show. The chick gangster.
Yeah.
When she comes in to collect that bartender and he comes in, he's like, hey, Phil, how's it going? This weather, right? He's like, yeah, and the humidity. Bam! And just fucking hits her. And she's like, I'll suck all your cocks. I'll suck your cocks. He's like, you're going to suck our cocks? She any good? Who am I kidding? You probably taught her how. And he fucking shoots her in the chest of the phone book. That's hardcore, dude.
Dude.
And I guess that's a common technique. That was a technique back in the day. Yeah. Like you do the silencer with the phone book because it's like an intimidate. You know, 9 times out of 10, that bullet's not going to go through the whole thing, especially with the silencer on. So like. And he's like, wow, you made it to the R's or whatever. So
I didn't realize that was the reason. I thought it was just muffled the sound, but it was because it wasn't going to go all the way through.
I guess it's a thing because like they talk about it in the podcast. Like I guess that was a common thing where you take the really big, thick phone book because it was more of, you didn't really want to kill the person. It was more of an intimidation thing.
Yeah.
To fuck with them being like, hey, this time it's not going to go all the way through, but next time.
It's coming.
There's going to be no phone book.
And she got it, too.
She fucking got it hard, she fucking dude.
Naked. Yeah. I think it's probably the worst way to go, too.
Yeah, she's running through the house with a towel.
Towel falls. You're just fucking tits out.
You were told to kick up to Johnny Sack. Yeah. Yeah, dude. What else? But, you know, talking about those rivalries, it was really great, dude, and shows you what a great actor that dude is. David Proval that played Richie Aprile.
Uh-huh.
He's so much smaller than Tony.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, he doesn't get phased at all, dude, because that's how hardcore he is, you know? He's like, what's mine is not yours to give me. He's just looking right up at Tony and shit, and Tony's being all intimidating, and that guy's just like,
not having none of that shit, dude. But that bothered me the most is that he got taken out by fucking sister. I was like,
fucking Janice.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
All that leveled up and just like, Janice does it. I'm just like, God damn it. I was really hoping for a blowout or something.
She just goes off and then he's just like, bam, dude. And he sits back down. He just starts eating. Were you going to cry now?
Fucking Marlon Brando.
I know. And then she takes out the gun. He's like, what the fuck? I don't have the energy for this or whatever the fuck.
He doesn't. Yeah, he was unfazed by the gun also.
So good. He was so good.
I do hate that he died that way. I was like, God.
Oh, I know. It was a shock.
Yeah.
It was a good script writing. When Beansy, when he fucking.
Oh, fuck.
When he fucking, yeah.
Runs him over. Not a look on his face change at all. Just like it's just part of his day. Fucking speed bumped him.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, it's good shit.
Yeah, man.
Not a fan of the way he died. And then who was last season's fucking? Oh, it was fucking
Phil.
No, Cifaretto. Ralph.
Well, that was up to season four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking great character. Joey Panzanella did a great job. Joey Pants.
He did a great job. But that was
the money you take out of that bar. You must be sitting on it like King Croesus. And fucking Artie. Ooh-wee, ooh. He's my favorite, dude. My favorite actor.
Who?
John Ventimiglia, the guy who plays Artie Bucco.
Oh,
just
because
he's so physical. Yeah.
I guess so. I don't know.
I just like him, you know, as an actor.
Get off his dick, all right?
Huh?
Get off
his fucking
dick.
Great, dude.
What else has he been in? He's so goddamn great.
He's been in a lot of stuff. A lot of not big stuff, but he's been in a lot of stuff. I just like how everything he says, he's like, it's going to be a tower. Let's not forget.
You just like the overacting is what you're saying. Huh?
I like the physical acting. Yeah, the physicality.
You like your physical comedy, too.
Physicality. I like the physical, man. Yeah. I like the physical.
Because
I guess what he did was he walked up like an audition when he was doing like the ordering. Instead of going like, hey, what do you guys want? You know, he just came up and went like, what's it going to be? You know, without having to say anything.
Yeah.
He was just like, you know.
You come here enough to know what's the drill.
Like,
what do you got? That's pretty, that's smart.
Yeah.
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 Get off his dick, dude. I'm tired to hear you talk about Artie Bucco. He's in like fucking five
minutes. Steve Buscemi. Boy, you're fat.
You're fat.
He directed the Pine Barrens episode.
I don't know which one's the Pine Barrens.
Oh, where Chris and Polly get lost.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, he directed that.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I always was like curious if people are approached to join a show or if they're like, it's like it's this part written specifically with this actor in mind because he plays the other Tony who isn't as he had a chance to be a gangster, but he went sent to prison and he's completely like just like chill and kind of effeminate. But that's the character also because he's doing massages on men. Was it written for Steve? Because he's kind of like chill and just like quiet and just like seems effeminate, but I don't know. Fuck it. It's a good show. I'll finish it eventually. It's been fucking 20 years.
Have you seen the Vito scene yet?
No.
Construction site?
Oh, which one is that one? Hit me.
Gay Vito.
Oh, no, I haven't got to
it yet.
No.
Okay. It hits you. That's a surprise, too.
Oh, really?
It hits you. You won't expect it. You won't see it coming.
I don't even know who Vito is, so it's going to have.
You won't see it coming.
Oh.
It turns out to be gay.
Yeah, all right. Now I'll forget. I will forget what you just told me. And I'll be like,
and you're going to be like, whoa, because they put it in. So it's a surprise.
Ah, nice. Bunch of queers.
Like, whoa.
Bunch of queers.
That's so fucking funny, dude. With season two and Polly, he goes to see that fucking psychic or whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's like, he's saying it itches. The poison ivy still itches from season one.
Yeah.
And he freaks out. He's like, I hate this fucking shit. He takes a chair and says, fucking quiz! And fucking throws it.
It's such an irrational.
And everybody's like horrified in the fucking house. Fucking quiz!
So irrational. So stupid.
So fucking good. Oh, man. Remember when he's going to go into business with the masseuse or whatever? And then Paulie's like, hey. Never forget Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yes. You're like,
it's like that's not even Korean. The right Asian.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
It's so great.
You know, and
hell is hot.
Yeah.
Everyone knows hell is hot. Okay.
I enjoy the I don't know how to phrase this. It shines a light on like Italian culture and like whatever it is, but also like they're so believably dumb still, like they're still human, like they're not like smarter than other people, like they're just still fucking idiots. Yeah, they're mobsters, but they're not like the brightest people, and I like that it still shows that. I don't know, that's just me.
Yeah, they have a lot of street smarts, but yeah, they're not very smart. Some of them are smarter than others,
some of them, yeah, but some are just like
some of them are not.
And this podcast is taking a dive.
It's, oh yeah, big time.
Yeah, it's
Silvio and Napoleon, he was a moody fuck too.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I liked about Paulie is when he fucking Tony's gonna throw away that picture of him and the horse, fucking Pio Mai, and he was just like, he takes it, he's like, change it to my. Wait, I think he put his face on it, didn't he?
No, he put Napoleon kind of a general thing on Tony. That's,
yeah,
yeah. He's so weird.
Staring at
so them. Weird. What all right, guys. Well, this podcast is
it's taking a turn.
We've gone along.
We're gonna edit it down.
All right.
Completely.
Take care, you cocksuckers.
Crux.
Yeah. Let me hear you say, Crux. Yeah. Crux. Yeah.
Crux. Yeah.
Crux. Yeah.
Crux. Yeah.
Crux. Yeah. Crux. Yeah. Podcast.
Crux. Proper.